Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 13. Appreciate that song, Brother Dwayne. Very, very good job.
Us
men had a good time this weekend. We went to the God's Man Conference. Really enjoyed what we saw and heard there. I even got to drive CD's van a couple of times. Well, what's funny about that now? I was going to talk about how I was such a good driver, and y'all laughing, all right? They survived. I don't think I scared them too bad because they asked me the second time to do it. So, just had a good time. Very, very good presence of the Lord. There were 300-plus men coming together to just hear for some great preachers and be able to fellowship together and worship together and just a really enjoyable time together. And got a lot out of it. Then excited this morning to preach and share a little bit of what the Lord has given to us. I want to, this morning, continue kind of a thought that I gave last week. Last week we preached from John chapter 12 on the idea, are you devoted to Jesus? And we talked about how the dead man certainly is devoted to Jesus. And the debtor certainly is devoted to Jesus. And we talked about how the devilish man defiles himself in his mocking of Jesus, but ultimately is defeated and overcome in Jesus and His Word. But now I want to continue, and I want to preach from chapter 13 on the idea, the question, are you devoted to Christ's commands? Because I think that is another step forward. You can say that you're devoted to Jesus, but are you devoted to what He said? Are you devoted to doing what He's commanded? Are you devoted to obeying His will? And we're going to see this here from verses 1 through 17. And this is a feet washing message. So prepare yourselves, all right? If you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, we have several verses to read, but we'll read them all. And then we'll pray. It says in John chapter 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do Thou knowest not, but Thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye see what say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of life. We thank you for the sweet spirit we felt so far. And we thank you, Lord, for your continued presence in this service. I pray now for each person gathered here, God, that in these next few moments we might be able to expound, Lord God, your holy word, your gospel, so that, Lord, we might see what it is you've done for us, so that, Lord God, we might be inspired and motivated to obey your commands, and that, God, we might choose willingly to follow your example and minister one to another. God, we thank you for everything you've done for us. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add his reading, add his blessings to the reading of his word. Seminary student attended his first ever feet washing service at a small country church. He had read the commentaries, studied the Greek, and even wrote a paper titled A Topological Framework for Jahanian Servitude. That's a weird word. It's like Jahanian servitude. As the foot washing service began, he happened to be next to a deacon, an older gentleman with calloused hands, a warm smile, and a pocket full of peppermints. And he asked, "Excuse me, sir, is there any specific eschatological symbolism involved in the basin to foot ritual? Perhaps a prefiguration of the marriage supper cleansing?" To which the old deacon blinked and then said with a laugh, "Son, just take your socks off and try not to tickle anybody." He got to experience his first feet washing service. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments." It's as simple and as difficult as that. If we are devoted to Jesus Christ, then there will be an expectation, a motivation, and a desire to do as he has commanded us to do. Now, of course, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, the rabbis and the Pharisees tried to make Jesus' teachings a lot more complicated than what he was making them out to be. And they said there in verse 36 of Matthew 22, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets." So when Jesus says, "If ye love me, obey my commandments," primarily we begin with these two greatest commandments that he gave: to love the Lord with all that you are, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Christ's ordinances demonstrate these commands. The commentator A.H. Strong says that these outward rites, which Christ has appointed to be administered in his church, are visible signs of the saving truth of the gospel. They are signs in that they vividly express this truth and confirm it in the believer. As Free Will Baptists, we join a large cloud of witnesses up until this point who have read in the scriptures three examples of Christ's ordinances. The first being believers' baptism. And let me just underline, highlight, and circle the word believers. In order to be baptized, you must be a believer according to scripture. We don't join with our brothers and sisters who believe that you would baptize a child or an infant as part of someone's household. We believe that in order to participate in the ordinance of baptism, you must believe. You must be saved. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, it says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." In baptism, we make a public profession. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. I am his forevermore. We find a second ordinance, the Lord's Supper, which we'll participate in this morning. You see here on the cloth on the altar in front of me, it says, "In remembrance of me." This refers to Christ's words there at the Last Supper. "This do in remembrance of me." As believers, we participate in the Lord's Supper to commemorate the death of our Lord and Savior, the bread representing our Lord's broken body, the juice representing His precious poured out blood. This ordinance calls to our remembrance the substitutionary death of Christ in taking our place on the cross and experiencing the wrath of God so that you and I never will have to. And then last, we come to the third ordinance. That is that we believe we are commanded to wash the saints' feet. Why is it that we believe we are commanded to wash the saints' feet? Whenever you participate in something that has a ritualistic overtone, it's always tempting to simply do it because that's what the church does, right? We've been doing it since I was a kid. And I don't know why we do it. My feet are pretty clean. I took a shower this morning, but I guess we'll do it, you know? We hear that question a lot in the modern age. And in fact, as Free-Will Baptists, several of our other Baptist brothers and sisters will look at us and say, "Why are y'all doing this?" You know? "Why in the world would you participate in such a strange ritual and rite?" Well, let me give you just a spoiler of what my message is going to be. We do it because Jesus commanded us to do it. Ultimately. That's why we do it. And we believe when Jesus tells us to do something, we should do it. But I want to go into more of the ways that this ordinance calls to our remembrance all that we need to remember in the story of the gospel. I believe there are four gospel truths revealed, contained within John chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and ultimately are a part of the ordinance of washing the saints' feet. And I believe that our obedience to it will be a blessing to us as part of God's church. And so for the next few moments, let me just share these four gospel truths found in feet washing. Number one, it teaches us humility. Pastor got up and said, "Children, y'all need to learn humility." And one of the deacons said, "Oh, Pastor, don't worry. I'm the most humble of them all." Would you agree with me today, church? We need to learn humility. I think we need to learn humility in this day and age more than we've ever needed to learn it in the history of this world. We were in that God's Man conference, and during one of the services, I believe it was yesterday morning, one of the preachers got up and he said, "Listen, there's lots of sins that the church faces today that are tearing the church apart. The devil is ravaging the church in this modern age. But the number one sin that churches need to identify and deal with most pressingly is we need to deal with our pride. Our pride. For when a man thinks he is something, right? Thinks he stands, that's when he will fall." So in this rite, in this ordinance of feet washing, we learn humility. We often ask, why was feet washing an ordinance? Why is it something we have to do today? What is the need for it? When we look at the context of feet washing, we understand that back in that day, feet washing was commonplace, okay? You've heard your Sunday school teacher tell you this. I've heard Brother Mike tell me this. When I was a kid, we washed feet back in that day because guess what? What did everybody wear? Sandals. And we walked around on roads, and were the roads paved with asphalt? They were just what? Dirt and dust, right? So if we're going over to somebody's dinner, and we're going to have a nice meal together, We don't want to be sitting there at the table. By the way, they didn't really sit. What did they do? We reclined. All right. Like Hazel, my daughter, she loves reclining during dinner. All right. She's a first century Christian in the fact that she is a great recliner at dinner. All right. She will lay and put her feet up. All right. And try to eat. We say, no, sit up. And then she'll sit up for 2 seconds and then she'll lay back down. All right. So she's great at it. But you didn't want people at the dinner table with dirty feet, dust and nastiness from the travel. And so in that day and age, when somebody came into your house, typically you'd have a servant, or if you were a host, you would do it yourself if you couldn't afford a servant, come and wash your guest's feet to get the dust of travel off. Now these realities make what Jesus did all the more extraordinary. The Bible says here in John chapter 13, that when Jesus got up, the disciples' feet were already clean. Why? Can we assume they were already clean? Because Jesus got up after dinner, right? And therefore, if they got as far as dinner, that means that at some point before getting to the dinner table, what had been done? Their feet had been washed. But Jesus gets up after dinner. And of course, we will remember that Jesus is no common servant. Jesus is, in fact, their master. And yet he gets up after dinner and he goes to wash their feet. That's a humble thing that Jesus did. Jesus, the King of heaven and earth. Jesus, the creator of all that there is. Jesus, the one who had known them since before they had been conceived in the womb. Jesus got up to wash their feet. The famous conductor Leonard Bernstein was once asked, what is the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play? Without hesitation, he said, second fiddle. I can find all kinds of people who want to play first violin, but finding someone who's willing to play second violin with enthusiasm and skill, that's a hard prospect. It is just not in our nature, folks, to want to play second fiddle to anybody. We want to be the star. And in fact, in our church participation, we want to be the star, right? People come to church, they want to feel like the pastor took notice of them. They want to feel like they were recognized and acknowledged. They want to feel like their needs were met. They want to feel like there's a program or some sort of class or something just for them. In other words, when they walk out of the church doors, they want to feel like they have been served. Except that's not the picture that Jesus gives us of the church. Jesus says, we're not here to be served. We're here to serve. And it's this ordinance of feet washing that shows us how to be humble. And church, we need the lesson. Somebody just thought, I didn't need a lesson. Yes, you do. You need the lesson on how to be humble. Feet washing helps you understand that. Number two, it teaches us about brotherly love. Again, why wash feet in the church? Certainly, scholars throughout time have looked upon the act of feet washing with scorn. That's why many churches don't do it. And in fact, that famous theologian, John Calvin, once said, this is long, get ready, every year, speaking of a church that had feet washing, every year they hold a theatrical feet washing service. And when they have discharged this empty and bare ceremony, they think they have done their duty finally and are then free to despise their brethren. But more, when they have washed 12 men's feet, they cruelly torture all Christ's members and thus spit in the face of Christ himself. This ceremonial comedy is nothing but a shameful mockery of Christ. At any rate, Christ does not enjoin an annual ceremony here, but he tells us to be ready all through our life to wash the feet of our brethren. What a strong statement from John Calvin. But of course, like many other thoughts from John Calvin, we don't pay those too much mind here. No, John Calvin, you're not correct. We don't wash feet to pretend that we are loving one another. We wash feet because we do love one another. And washing feet reminds us of that. Can I tell you a story real quick? I'm not going to tell this, but I'm going to tell you right now. This didn't happen so long ago. I think I mentioned it. We would wash feet over at Midfield when I was pastor there. And we had a feet washing service a couple of years ago. And the men, we went downstairs to wash feet. And we had just wrapped up the feet washing service, basically. We were just kind of sitting around testifying, sharing our witnesses, sharing our story of what Jesus has done for us. And then somebody stepped into the doorway of the Sunday school class us men were in. And it was one of the neighbors. One of the neighbors, a Hispanic man, a little bit older, a day worker, I guess. I think he's probably like a carpenter, does that type of work. He shows up, he's wearing his bib overalls. He's got his work boots on, covered from head to toe in dust and paint. This really happened, y'all. And he said, "Hey, am I too late for the service?" And I said, "No, brother, come on and sit down." And we're just having testimony. And I'm thinking, we've just washed each other's feet. It's over, the feet washing part. I'm the leader here. I'm telling myself, okay? This guy looks particularly dirty. I mean, I literally thought that. He's not a member of our church. He comes every once in a while. I just continue. I'm not going to bring it up. As we continued on, you can just kind of feel in the room that something needs to be done. It's not being done. But I'm not courageous or loving enough to speak up. And thank be to the Lord. One of our guys who had just recently joined the church said, Wait a second, guys. Our brother here has just shown up. I think we ought to wash his feet. He said, "Would you like that?" And the man was like, Yes, I would like that. So we've got the basins back out and we washed that man's feet. What a reminder to the preacher that we're doing this not because it's some rite or because it's convenient or because it's just something that you do. We're doing it because we ought to love one another. That's why Jesus did it for his disciples. He did it because he loved them. That's how the chapter began. Having loved them, he loved them till the end. So he got up from the table. He laid aside his garments. He girded himself. And he humbled himself to demonstrate his love to his followers. Jesus, after doing this, said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I've done." President of Welch College, Matthew Pinson, remarks in a Free Will Baptist handbook that the Greek word here in this passage for ought means bound or obligated. Let me share something with you that might blow your mind. In the Bible, in the language itself, it appears there's actually a stronger commandment here from Jesus to wash each other's feet than to participate in the Lord's Supper. It's that important. It's that needed. Church, we need to put brotherly love into practice here at Fellowship. And we need Jesus to show us how to do it. Free Will Baptists believe in the twofold communion. We believe that in the Lord's Supper, we have communion with our Savior in His death. But in the feet washing, we have communion with one another. It teaches us brotherly love. Number three. Boy, it's quiet here. It's not quiet. Number three. It teaches us about the humiliation and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Let me just share this with you quickly. I think this will blow your mind. In this account that we read in John chapter 13, we see fully the picture of what the Old Testament calls the suffering servant of Jesus Christ. In John, here, chapter 13, it says that Jesus rose from supper, which was a place of rest and comfort. My favorite place in the world is the dinner table, church, all right? I know you can tell. I love sitting down at the dinner table. And there's nothing like having a good meal and then kind of just sitting there and let it settle. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's anything physical about letting your food settle. But we sure do love to do it, don't we? All right, I got to let my food settle. All right, don't do nothing yet. All right, I got to take a minute, okay? Jesus left the supper table. You know what this shows us? This shows us that Jesus rose from His throne in heaven, left the splendor and comfort and love thereof. Again, we you want to hear the church shout? Y'all quiet right now. But I bet if I was preaching about heaven, y'all would be shouting, right? You'd be saying amen. Because we want to go there, right? That's the place we dream of. Jesus left that place to come to this dirty, filthy world. As the story continues, Jesus, it says, laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself, being ready to work. Well, you know what Jesus literally did when He stepped out of heaven? He laid aside His divinity and robed Himself in the veil of flesh. And He came to this world not to be served, but to be a servant. It continues. It says in this story that Jesus poured the water into a basin, ready to clean the feet of His disciples. Do you know that Jesus on the cross poured out His precious blood to cleanse you and I from our sins? And then finally, it says in John chapter 13, verse 12, that Jesus sat down again at the dinner table. You know what the Bible says about what Jesus did after He died, was resurrected, and then ascended into heaven? He sat down again upon His throne, ever ready to make intercession for you and I. Do you see what the story shows us of feet washing? Every time we participate in this blessed ordinance, we are reliving the incarnation and humiliation of Jesus Christ, writing upon our hearts all that Jesus did for us. Is that not worth celebrating today, church? That's where you say amen. We participate in feet washing because it shows us what Jesus did for us. You know, years later, when Peter wrote to Christians in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, he was writing to them about humility, and he put it like this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility." Humility. Can I just reveal something for you? I believe with all my heart that when Peter wrote those words, do you know what image he had in his mind? He had the image of Jesus wrapping that towel around His waist on the eve of His crucifixion and getting down on His knees in humility and washing the feet of Peter and his fellow disciples. There is nothing more important, church, that you and I need to be reminded of than what it is that Jesus did for us. God resisteth the proud, Peter would go on to say, and give us grace to the humble. Church, if we don't humble ourselves to obey an overt command of Christ, what will we humble ourselves to do? Finally, number four, and I'll be done. Finally, it teaches us the truth of sanctification. Now, believer, as you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the commandment of Scripture is that we are to grow in holiness. Now, this does not happen without daily cleansing by Jesus. What I mean by that is, when you are entered into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God, in that moment, justifies you before the Lord. Your sins are gone, cast as far away from you as the east is from the west, and yet a fleshly nature remains. So that as you walk through this life, eventually you will commit sin again. Confessing these sins, repenting of them, turning away from them, and being cleansed by Jesus is that process of sanctification. And we see that play out in the ordinance of feet washing. Peter, bold Peter, when Jesus begins to do this, it says here in this chapter, he's not too happy with what Christ's doing. He says, Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? Obviously, Peter understood that the King of heaven and earth shouldn't be washing his feet. He's not worthy of it. He doesn't deserve it. And yet Jesus says, you'll understand soon what I'm doing. Jesus, you'll never wash my feet. No way. Not going to happen. To which Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. So then Peter says, well, okay, if you're going to wash me, don't stop at the feet. Wash my hands and my head as well. If you're going to wash me, go all out, Jesus. I need all of it. It's not just my feet that are dirty. To which Jesus says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Now, what is Jesus telling us? This ordinance represents the daily cleansing from sin that's a necessary part of our sanctification. All of the disciples, except for Judas, have been washed by Jesus Christ. They are redeemed, new creatures in him. They're on their way to heaven. All of them, except for Judas. And yet, daily, they still needed to have their feet washed. Church, justification and sanctification go hand in hand. Pinson again says of this ordinance, the growth in Christ's likeness and daily cleansing from sin are at the core of the gospel, which says that Christ came to give his righteousness so that we might be freed to practice personal righteousness and flee from sin. This is the object of the work of Christ in our lives. So in short, this ordinance is a visible sign to us to extract more riches from Jesus Christ in our daily walk as we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to his daily cleansing. The great Scottish Bible expositor Alexander McLaren once said, "We may have as much of God as we will." That was said several times, by the way, at the God's Man Conference, wasn't it, Brother Sonny? We get as much of the Lord as we desire. He says that. Christ puts the key of the treasure chamber into our hand and bids us to take all that we want. If a man is admitted into the bullion vault of a bank and told to help himself and comes out with 1 cent, whose fault is it that he remains poor? You hearing me? Through this ordinance, we're reminded that daily communion with Christ, his cleansing of our sins, is what is the key to greater growth and riches in him. There's a lot of poor Christians in the world today. I wonder if they might be helped if they would participate in the ordinance of feet washing. It might teach them a lesson. Here's how I'll close, church. Didn't want to go too long today. I just wanted to explain this and then go into the Lord's Supper and then invite you back tonight. I'll end with this verse. It's John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus there says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Very simply, what Jesus is trying to explain is those who are my sheep do and obey what I say because they understand my voice. If they won't respond to his voice, can we call them his sheep. You know, we teach our children not to speak to strangers. That's going to be particularly hard with my daughter. She loves everybody, all right? She'll run up to him and hug him. Like, Hazel, you've never met this person before, you know? Like, now I'll give you a hug. We teach them not to speak to strangers because you can't trust a stranger. But you know what's even more important to teach our children than to not speak to strangers? More important than that is to teach and show our children how to listen for the Master's voice. There's a lot of young people in trouble in the world today because they don't hear and recognize the Master's voice. Church, we need to understand the Master's voice. Jesus, in one of the chapters of Matthew, explains that one day, every person who's ever lived will be gathered before the throne of God, and He will sort them on the left and the right. He calls the one on their right the sheep, and He calls the one on the left the goats. And I think it comes down to this. One group heard and understood the Master's voice, and one group didn't. Because we see that play out. The Lord rewards the sheep. And it turns out that even when they didn't explicitly know it was Jesus speaking, they still knew because they obeyed. And they did as the Lord commanded. And yet the goats, when it's explained what they did not do, they said, well, when did we see Jesus in these circumstances? When did Jesus command us to do that? And the fact was they were missing Jesus every day because they did not know His voice. Church, you have to listen to the voice of your shepherd in this world. And if you're going to do that, you must be devoted to His commands. We don't obey the commands of Christ because they're easy, relevant, convenient, or anything else. We obey the commands of Christ because they're His commands. So listen, I've told you the four rationales for why we believe as Real Baptists that we ought to participate in the ordinance of feet washing. So if anybody asks you today, well, you're a Free Will Baptist, you still wash them feet, why do you do that for? You know? Let me tell you, brother, sister, why I do it. Number one, I believe Christ commanded me to do it. But number two, three, four, five, here's all the things it teaches me about what the gospel's done for me and what I need to do in this world so that I can properly represent the one who gave so much for me. If you love me, obey my commandments. Are you devoted to the commandments of Jesus Christ? Let's pray.